Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, helping to create a storehouse of possibilities and products from a single seed. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's July the 7th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the director general of the WTO is globe hopping in hopes of salvaging the Doha round of the WTO. The chief economist at the U.S. USDA says there will be plenty of corn on hand this fall as long as trendline yields are met. And the Secretary of Agriculture has released the third in a series of farm bill papers. This one is on rural development. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then, as promised yesterday, we'll hear from U of I agricultural engineer Ted Funk about how to build and manage an on-farm outside storage pile for corn. It all happens on this Friday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat at 381.5, up 8.5 cents. September's were down 9 at 398.25. That was indicative of what happened across the grains floor in Chicago and even in Kansas City, where wheat was down 7 cents at 499 for the nearby July contract. July corn futures were off 4.25 today at $2.41. September's at 251 were down 4. And December futures were off 4.5 at 265.75. The March futures at 277.25 were down 4.25. July soybeans off 6.5 cents at 602 today. August contract on a Friday afternoon, 606.25, down 7.25. And September's down 6.75 at $6.13.75 per bushel. November contract at 627.75 for the harvest month, down 7.5. July bean meal futures at $172.90, off $2.30. July bean oil at $27.10, were off 2 for the day. Feeder cattle August contract at $115.90. They were down 15 cents. And the August live cattle at $85.32.5 were off 62.5 cents. July lean hogs at $2.07.5 lower, finished at $71.25 a hundredweight. Crude oil August contract currently trading at $74.08 a barrel. It's off $1.06. The CRB at 348.08, down 4.78, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,078 today, down 146 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, and around the globe in the agricultural world is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey there, Todd.
Hey, let's talk about this marketplace. Yesterday, we talked with some bulls in the marketplace and last Saturday, I had three bears in here for Commodity Week. So where do you stand, my friend?
Where do you put all the excess that we drop when we come in there?
I would say
in the medium term, we have very little weather premium factored into the corn, and we just simply look at where we stood on the 30th after the acreage and stocks numbers came out and after we got the Federal Reserve report that, you know, for the week we're up 5.5 cents on corn and about 5.25 cents on beans for both new crop. So I guess our mindset is we've probably got about a nickel weather premium in the markets right now, and in the medium term, if you look at the fall price of corn, last year, you know, you were trading around in futures around 265, 270. You had about a 20-cent basis in the listening area, the wide range of the listening area that we're in. So you were looking at about a 250 cash price, and that compares to about a 235 to 237 cash price right now. So our mindset is there's not much weather premium in the futures or not a lot of risk premium in the cash for fall delivery. So we're, you know, optimistic on the corn. And at the point where if the market forces us to, we will go ahead and carry the last 50% in the bin post-harvest and try and move as many cash beans as we possibly can to be able to store on farm as much corn as we possibly can, using just strictly supply and demand fundamentals and what the index funds have tended to like to buy here recently.
That gives you some interesting options, I suppose, to cover the bean sales. What are you doing there?
Well, kind of the same thing we talked about last week, but maybe we were a little bit more hurried in our mindset because of the way the market and the reports were so many of them. I guess our mindset has been, let's go ahead and buy the puts, see if we can't get a plus 60 move up in the beans here off the lows, you know, 60 to 80 cents on weather, on whatever, on technicals and on funds, and you know, then work hard, especially if we're near August and you've got a decent insurance program, work hard on letting the cash fly, lift the puts, and then we'll just go ahead and call that done for the year and then, you know, do the exact opposite on the corn. If we get the rally that we really want out of this market, we'll look hard at cash sales, but we may instead use puts going all the way into harvest. And had a lot of conversations on the phone today and yesterday about that with clients and farmers. And, you know, the primary reason we want to do that is because we really want to take money away from the futures market if we'd have a run down in corn, because we're still in the mindset that LDP is going to be very hard to get in corn. So if we buy puts and the market falls in our direction, then we'll be able to lift those puts with the profit and not have to have sold the cash and have that cash side of the market tied up.
What do you see over the next week in terms of weather? Will there be a premium built back in? I know we got something from the National Weather Service that showed high heat indices starting July the 12th across Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, three top corn-producing states in the nation.
Yeah, on a side note, that's one of the nicest benefits of having an email sign up with Will Radio as far as getting stuff over the email, hot news like that and hot weather stuff like that. I really appreciated getting that this afternoon. It made my job a lot easier, so thanks on that. I guess the big thing is we saw a commodity-wide sell-off in complexes like coffee. It was down 3%, crude was down 1.5%, cotton was down 2.2%, and hogs were down 3%, all noted for commodity fund selling. So I guess we would disagree with Chicago and our Chicago contacts. They would say that everything was weather today in the grain pits. I guess we would say with the outside commodities and the way the wheat was the grain leader to the downside and the fact that the SEP wheat closed negative on the week and that we've closed below the 50-day moving average and the uptrending line in wheat, that wasn't much weather. That was just strictly, in our view, technical, fund-led profit-taking at the end of a week. And so I guess our mindset would be we could be very, very much higher if we turn dry on Sunday night because, again, we don't have a lot of weather premium in it. And today's trade was less about weather and more about some profit-taking and technical indicators by funds, index and commodity alike.
Interesting ideas there. So that wheat let it lower just on some profit-taking in your mind. Weather premium's not really playing much of a role. And there's only a nickel there as far as your thinking at this point. So there could be a pretty good upside potential if things start to really turn and traders look at dry weather.
You hit it on the nose. There was a fellow in Chicago that I talked to at least once a day. He's a 35-year veteran of the Chicago floor pit, and he personally doesn't want to call this mindset out to anyone he talks to, but he had the idea that technically speaking, if you look at a lead month corn chart, and this goes in line a lot with what you talked about yesterday with Dale. I mean, it's amazing where these guys are coming from. When you start to take a look at it, that the last 6 weeks was a flag formation, and the next stop on lead month corn is $3. And so you've got some real issues to contend with here in the short term, and that's why, again, we just go back to risk premium and value levels, overvalue, undervalue. Well, after the acreage report, which was lower than the trade guessed and much lower than the Informa numbers came out on acres, we closed at 260 and a quarter on June 30th after the acreage numbers. We're 5 cents higher than that, so given that scenario by itself and the uncertainty of these models, I mean, this GFS model is schizophrenic right now, Todd. It changes every 6 hours. The no-gaps model is not that bad. It's been very consistent and very consistently dry throughout the whole week. But for some reason, the trade really wants to go with the schizo model, the GFS. And
yeah.
It's driving everybody crazy, quite literally.
I got 5 updates from one of our weather guys today.
Yeah. And there, you know, you look at the different heights. You know, our consultant, private consultant that we use, he's taught us to look at the different model heights, much like probably Ed does. And it doesn't make any rhyme or reason when you look at these updates. You've got a very dominant high-pressure system in place in the central part of the Corn Belt, a 1025, 1026 you know, high pressure system, very strong. You know, 1030 on a high is very, very strong. 1026 pretty strong. And so, you know, when you all of a sudden see a huge major low pressure system come across Iowa that wasn't there 6 hours ago, and you've got this dominant high pressure in place, and you look at the different heights, nothing makes sense right now. And I think that's where it goes back to. I really think, based upon the people we've talked to up at the board, that the big money, the real people that are short right now, the commercials and the small specs especially, that are very, very short and tight holders of their short positions, they're not buckling. They haven't gotten out of their short positions because they realize how goofy these weather models are. So it kind of furthers the idea we're not really in that weather price and weather premium area at all right now.
Okay, I want to go back to the lead option chart, if you pull that up on, in front of you, because you talked about a flag formation over the last 6 weeks. And I want to know where the breakout is at this point then, because it looks like we ought to be awfully close to the breakout and those either break out to the upside or downside, but what are we talking about in number, do you know?
Well, we are, and I think you'd have to go off the September, unfortunately, because July is too illiquid at this point, and so as soon as the July goes off the board, if the September keeps its premium and stays at 252 or higher, you may very well have done
that breakout.
You're already at that breakout if you take September as a lead month, and so that's why I don't put a lot of stock in it right now, but it does show where some of these technical traders really are sitting when it comes to the corn, and why would they be looking at the corn that way? And I think it really does go back to the demand side of the equation. If demand for corn was terrible and export sales were really, really rough, then no one would want to be looking at corn going that high right now.
Sure.
It really goes back to the demand. The demand has been able to offset these extremely wide spreads and this cash market not moving. They've just been, you know, log jammed with each other for the past 4 or 5 weeks now.
On the subject of demand, tell me about China.
Well, it's going to be a buyer. It's just, can we continue to trade in terms of a strong global economy? And that's one thing that North Korea really bothers us on, is if North Korea gets into a mess and a contest with Japan or South Korea, it really could hurt and hit our Asian rim demand. And it could also spark a lot of safe haven buying in the dollar and the U.S. treasuries. And so we really don't want any geopolitical frustrations in Asia right now, because that is where China could flip a switch and have a good crop, the dollar strengthens, and we have a weaker Asian market, and they become a net exporter to our, you know, big buyers right now. I think the one thing that we really like, that we think is a trump card in this corn market right now, is not so much China, but the fact that Argentina's out for 6 more months, wheat we've damaged here in the United States, 2 major principal crops we've damaged, and Mexico has been consistently our number 2 buyer of corn, and that won't change, we don't think, for at least 6 or 9 months. So the nice side is if China goes by the wayside, as long as they don't export it, we'll still have a very robust demand base.
Because we have ethanol building and a lot of plants coming online. China,
yeah.
It's kind of like walking on glass at the moment.
It is. We've never tried to put China into our price as far as what is overvalue if China buys, or if over what is undervalue if China sells. We just leave China as a blank because no one knows what they're going to do. We can see if there's a pattern developing, like in this week's export sales. We saw some corn, 60,000 tons, sold to unknown destinations. That catches everybody's eyes to be looking to see if that was China.
All right. We appreciate it. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Mike Zuzulo with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Friday afternoons. Our own Mike, own Ed Kieser forecast for tonight across the two-state region. Mostly clear skies. The lows will range, he says, from the 50s in some of the rural locations in southern Indiana to the mid-60s in Chicago. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. The highs between 83 and 88. Tomorrow, also the wind speed, 6 to 12 miles an hour. Relative humidities ranging between 35 and 45% in the afternoon for the minimums. The extended forecast, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms possible in the northern third of Illinois and Indiana on Sunday. And a few could develop in the central and southern sections late in the day. Dave Dickey's here now with a look at today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, the head of the World Trade Organization told the Japanese finance minister Thursday that he hopes Japan will lower its agricultural trade barriers to help break the deadlock in global trade talks. WTO Director General Pascal Lamy is visiting Japan on a diplomatic mission to coordinate member nations' interests to save the troubled Doha round of global free trade talks. LeMay also asked Japan to urge the U.S. and India to ease their hardened positions on agricultural and industrial goods. USDA Chief Economist Keith Collins says the U.S. will have plenty of corn supplies this fall, assuming a trendlined yield.
We have a lot of acreage for corn. We have more acreage for corn than we thought we were going to get a couple of months ago. And I think that will mean that we have plenty of supplies, provided we don't have a well below normal yield this year.
USDA is currently using a trend line yield of 149 bushels to the acre. That number could change when July crop production and world agricultural supply and demand estimate reports come out next Wednesday. USDA Ag Secretary Mike Johanns today rolled out the third in USDA's series of Farm Bill analysis papers. Today's is on rural development. Johanns says the paper is intended to offer factual information and continue the dialogue about the 2007 Farm Bill. Papers have also been issued on risk management and conservation. Officials at the American Farm Bureau Federation say lawmakers should vote on pending bilateral trade deals with Vietnam, Peru, and Oman just as soon as they are finalized. Jonna Miller is with the AFBF and has this report.
The agriculture community is concerned about recent comments from congressional leaders about holding off on trade votes until after Election Day.
We have a very ambitious trade agenda right now, and we need to get to the items that are on the table. If Oman, Peru, and Vietnam are ready to go, then Congress should take the necessary steps in order to have those votes and should not put them off until next year.
American Farm Bureau trade specialist Chris Garza says free trade agreements for Oman and Peru, as well as approval for Vietnam's accession into the World Trade Organization, are ready for congressional votes.
If you look at the Oman and the Peru free trade agreements, what we're looking at in combined total there is probably about $900 million in additional agricultural trade. Vietnam, we don't have the numbers quite yet, but this is a situation in that we didn't have to give anything up for Vietnam. It's what Vietnam was giving up for us in order to gain our support.
Garza says trade is too important for U.S. agriculture for stalling tactics.
These trade agreements are good for U.S. agriculture. They're good for business overall. And so just leaving those items on the table and pushing them off because of elections does not necessarily send a good sign to our trading partners as well as to those that feel that these agreements are important to them.
Jonna Miller, Washington.
And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, every fall, there are piles and piles of corn around the Midwest. This is because elevators, the people who take and store the corn, don't have enough room for it inside their silos and bins. It's usually on the ground, outside, for a couple of months. Well, this fall, the story is likely to be the same, but there is a new twist. It could pay big money to keep corn in storage for a whole year. That's because there are, at the moment, 34 new ethanol plants and 7 expansions under construction. These plants will need corn to run. That's called demand. The money they'll pay for the corn next year might be good enough for farmers to build their own on-farm storage piles. I've got advice from Ted Funk, ag engineer at the University of Illinois. If done right, temporary storage for corn, even an outside pile, can keep for a couple of years. The bigger the pile, the better the chance. Elevators do this a lot, but farmers can do it too. Building a permanent structure, like a circular bin, of course, is the best option, but there are others. The first thing to do, says University of Illinois Extension agricultural engineer Ted Funk, is to look around the farm and see which buildings might be converted. Silos and harvestors. Even machine sheds.
The other thing that people have to consider, of course, is just piling it outside on the ground. And the temporary piles for short term can be pretty cost effective. Sometimes you have to take a little bit of spoilage with those, but temporary storage in piles is a viable alternative, especially if you have grain that's dry and you have cool temperatures, hold it through the winter, that's something that can work.
The main thing is to make sure the pile is built somewhere that's well drained. The ground should have a 1 to 2% slope from the inside to the outside, and if the pile is more than 60 foot wide, it has to be aerated. A 60 foot wide, 12 foot tall, in the middle round pile will hold about 10,000 bushels.
You can also use a tarp. Yeah, you can use a suck down cover, and there's several ways that you can incorporate aeration with that. You can put perforated drain tiles over the top of the pile and suck down the tarp on top of that, and then aeration tubing beneath. And so for the larger system, you might even consider something like that. Cool, dry grain, let's say 14% moisture or below, you can keep that for a very long period with a tarp and with the some form of aeration.
Well, you can read more about temporary grain storage online. Use Google and search for Grain Storage Management. The Midwest Plan Service at mwps.org also has some good materials. The keys to long-term storage, as Ted Funk just mentioned, is to begin with cool, dry grain, less than 14% moisture, to use aeration and to cover it. The fans are blowing out and sucking the tarp down.
Those perforated drain tiles, the ends would be open to the outside beneath the tarp, yeah. And then you get air moving up through those perforated drain tiles, out the perforations beneath the tarp and down into the grain. And so then you've got another set of aeration tubes underneath down the center of the pile at the bottom.
And so the airflow is pulling through the top of the pile and, in the process, holding down the tarp. If you'd like to hear more from Ted Funk or to read more about how to build one of these on-farm storage piles, you can do it right on our website at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. Under the features section, you'll find the entire raw interview. That's the interview I did with Ted about how to build these piles and his advice on managing them. There are also links there to the Midwest Plan Service, as well as several other places that have advice on building outside on-farm storage.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Expert in grain storage outside joining us now to take a look at the cash grain market for the afternoon, Bruce Bostert of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
I don't know whether you're an expert in outside grain storage, but I suspect you've talked about it many times in the past.
We will have probably about 2 million bushels out on the ground this fall. So.
And what is...
I hope it works.
And is he right? Is it keeping it cool and making sure it goes in dry?
Goes in dry and uniform. One oops and a wet load in the middle can be a killer.
Yeah, that's a tough thing to do. You've got to make sure she's uniform across there. Speaking of uniform, how has the basis been holding up? Has it been tracking fairly well this week?
Basis has not been doing that badly. Really, the only thing we saw for cash movement was on yesterday's pop. We saw a little surge of cash movement, and it has been dead other than that. And that's probably more of a gain that we've seen here, say, on the rail shippers and on some of the processor numbers. The river numbers haven't been doing quite as well. They've seen some gains in the SIF numbers down at New Orleans, but barge freight has been increasing. It's kind of been washing each other out.
In your area, would you agree that the premium that was taken out of the marketplace mostly said to be off of weather today, although we have some folks that are disagreeing with that. We talked with an analyst earlier that did. Is the crop in fairly good condition, or is there weather premium yet to be had?
Both. I think it's in fairly good condition right now. We are probably in better shape than we were last year at this time. But it's not made yet, so the rains we've been getting have not been good, heavy, soaking. You can sit back and not worry about it. Rains, they've been a quarter inch here, an inch there, and here. The difference between here and there might be a mile. So it's been enough to keep it going, partially living off subsoil, partially living off new rains. We're probably a week away from pollination when we'll really see the moisture demands go up. So we're not made yet, but we're getting closer. 2 to 4 more weeks, and it'll be hard to carry a weather premium.
In fact,
we'll know where we're at one way or another.
And your bids for the day are?
We are at 231 in Paxton on nearby corn and 584 on soybeans.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Steve Hilberg about the weather. He's at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. One of the two men involved in a controversial documentary on racial profiling by Champaign-Urbana police was convicted today on criminal sex abuse and home invasion charges. A Champaign County jury deliberated for just over 2 hours before finding Patrick Thompson guilty of both charges. Thompson was charged with entering a neighbor's apartment 2 years ago and fondling her. His supporters say the charges were retribution for taking videos of local police stops for his documentary. Sentencing for Thompson has been set for August 7th. $3 million in planning money has been announced for the long-delayed renovation of 96-year-old Lincoln Hall at the University of Illinois campus. Illinois Capital Development Board Director Jan Grimes announced the new planning money today at the campus. Together with previously announced money, about $5 million will be available to plan renovation work that is expected to exceed $55 million. Grimes says the plans call for upgrades to Lincoln Hall's electrical, mechanical, and telecommunications systems, as well as new floors, ceilings, and walls, all while restoring the integrity of the building's exterior. Republican candidate for Governor Judy Bartopinkus is having President Bush come to Illinois for us to stump for her, shows that she is a good candidate and Governor Rob Blagojevich can be beaten. During a speech at a fundraiser today, Topinka said if elected, she'll focus on education, the economy, and ethics reform, but she didn't give many specifics. Bush heaped praise on Topinka and told her that all she had to do was aspire to be as good as former Governor Jim Edgar, who he says sets the bar for governors in Illinois. At a news conference at the Museum of Science and Industry, President Bush said Chicago is a well-run city, and Mayor Richard Daley deserves a lot of credit for that. Bush was responding to a reporter who asked if yesterday's convictions of four men in a city hall hiring scandal had changed his opinion about Daley. Soybeans growing in a northern Indiana field will be used to feed the hungry as part of a church project. The Elkhart Valley Church of the Brethren plans to sell the beans and give the money to Foods Resource Bank, which will then send supplies for hunger relief. Pastor Beth Sollenberg-Morphew says there are many farmers in her congregation who are volunteering their land. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606. Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
On this Friday afternoon for the Closing Market Report, we were joined by Steve Hilberg, who is with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. He's the director there to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast across the Midwest. Let's start out with the weekend here in Illinois. What will it be like?
Well, it should be pretty nice, Todd. We'll start to see winds swing around more to a southerly direction here over the next 48 hours, and that'll, of course, bring in more warmth and humidity that we have lacked the last half of this week after we had the cold front go through on the 4th of July. But right now, through the weekend, it looks like most of the area will be dry with some showers, thunderstorms scattered about northern Illinois on Sunday, maybe. But down here in the central and southern parts of the two states, probably won't see anything until Monday afternoon or something.
On a personal note, I've got a couple of weddings that are outside tomorrow. Will they be okay?
Yeah, they should be great. You won't be too uncomfortable because the dew points will still be relatively low, and temperatures will be up there probably in the mid-80s. But it should be a beautiful day to be outside doing anything.
It will be a good day tomorrow, in fact. Tell me about the Midwest next week. I saw some things from the National Weather Service. In fact, Jim Angel had forwarded it a bit to us about high heat indice threats starting July the 12th. What do you make of that?
Well, right now, I'm always a little hesitant when these things pop up on to maps all of a sudden. And in fact, this today's outlook that includes that particular product has backed off a day and moved it back a little bit further west than what it had been yesterday. The bottom line is probably after early next week, there's what I've seen termed a massive uncertainty in the medium range models with the pattern that we're going to be in, and it's really going to be hard to pinpoint things. My feeling right now is looking at things that the worst heat will be stayed west of the Mississippi River, up through Missouri and perhaps Iowa. But those areas will also have some chances for rain, which, you know, with some clouds and rain, that could keep temperatures down a bit. But we'll definitely be in the dog days of summer here probably by the middle to end of next week.
Steve, we appreciate you being with us.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here in Champaign County. He joined us on Friday afternoons. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Commodity Week. It's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at AgriGold.com.